Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Now, before I get going, I hope you enjoyed this year's St. Albans Food Festival. I really do think that it's things like the Food Festival that make living in St. Albans so great. And have you seen the work that incredible edible St. Albans have done clearing and planting one of those great big beds near the council offices? Now, they can have their work cut out watering under those great big trees, but if their fruit bushes and their salads get going, it's really going to be worth it. And I don't know what you think, but I think it's great to have food growing right in the heart of our city. Now, this week we learned that the person who was tragically killed on Camp Road was Barbara Little. And local people are not surprised that what they have long seen as a dangerous road has claimed a life. I went along to Camp Road today to see what one of the local mums had to say. Now, I was just on the, I just went along the road and really just randomly picked somebody. As you can hear from my recording, it was really quite windy, so apologies for that. But as I say, this was just a random person who I chose to see what they thought. So I've just stopped here on Camp Road and there's a local mum here who's got three lovely looking kids all dressed in their camp school clothes. And I just kind of wanted to see what you think about Camp Road and how safe it is.
Well, I think the parents at camp school have been concerned about it for quite a few years now. The traffic goes pretty fast, there's lots of parked cars, it's very bendy and it's particularly difficult to cross, especially for our parents and young families. It's really difficult to see down the road, and when the cars are coming quickly, it's really difficult. So we've been asking the council to do something about the road and give us somewhere to cross that's safe, and trying to find someone who would be a lollipop lady for the school.
Okay. And what kind of response have you received from the county council about this?
So our local county councillor has been very supportive, and they've put some 20 mile per hour signs up for us. But unfortunately they're just not very easy to see, and it's not really had the effect that we'd like. So what we want is a permanent crossing, yeah, and something done about the speed, something to make the cars go more slowly.
And how about a wider 20 mile an hour zone so that it was clearer to cars about what speed they should go?
Yes, I think that's what we would like ultimately, or something to force them to go slower.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
And
that's very sweet. You could just hear one of her children talking there at the end. And as you can hear, you know, there were cars going past really quite fast, even as we were just talking. Now, you heard there, I mean, one way that has been suggested to make pedestrians safer would be a blanket 20 mile an hour speed limit in St. Albans. And some time ago, Jill Mills, a local Green Party campaigner, started a 20s Plenty for St. Albans campaign and a petition. Now, things fizzled out a bit after opposition from Herts County Council, but she's decided it's time to put the pressure on again. I spoke to Jill. So, Jill, we've just heard there from a mum who walks up and down Camp Road, and she's concerned about safety along there, that they're doing their best to try and make things better. Do you think that we take pedestrian safety seriously enough in St. Albans?
No, I don't, Amanda. I think that we could prioritise pedestrians a lot better, and I think that the simplest win-win way of improving life for pedestrians and cyclists — I'm a very keen cyclist and I don't feel safe on the roads — is to reduce speed right across St Albans, so down to 20 miles an hour, because all the evidence shows that medically it's incontrovertible that you can do less damage, and there are almost no fatalities if you're hit by a car at 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that when that measure is introduced right across an urban zone, then the number of accidents goes down. It's really quite an astonishing figure. And the studies in Cambridge, York and London are showing reductions of up to, you know, nearly 50%.
Yeah.
Reductions.
I mean, I have to say that I just cycling here today. You know, it doesn't often happen to me, but the number of kids who just sort of wandered out into the road — accidents will happen, won't they?
They will. And you're, you know, with children in particular, you are dealing with persons who don't focus as well as us. I mean, no matter how much road safety training we give them, they're talking to their friends, they're not aware. And with older people, and we know that we've had a fatality involving an older person recently, again, there are sometimes deficits in concentration and certainly the ability to react and get out of the way. So that, you know, if you can do something which reduces speed to the point where it can't kill you,
yes,
that's got to be a good thing. And it's a good thing for the motorist because it's actually you have to do less braking, less re-acceleration, you use less fuel, that means a slightly less emissions, less wear and tear on your car.
Yeah.
And for cyclists, the difference is huge because the car is really travelling at a speed at which they are can see a cyclist, react to them more quickly, and they're more in tune with the speed that the cyclist is going.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and I suppose the other important thing is that at with cars going or other vehicles going at 20 miles an hour, actually we feel safer, don't we? We're more likely to want to get onto our bicycles in particular, and this has huge impacts for our health, for the National Health Service, for just a feeling of community too.
Indeed. In fact, there have even been studies of people's perception of how they feel in areas where there are fewer cars or cars moving more slowly. And in there have been a couple of studies in big tourist attraction cities like York and Cambridge where they have shown through surveying that tourists are spending more time and, I suppose we should be glad, more money in the areas where they can walk more slowly and don't have to look around. They can simply relax when they're walking so they can look at the attractions and the shops rather than looking around to see, you know, if there's a vehicle coming towards them.
Nice and fast, yes. Well, that'd be fantastic if there were commercial benefits as well. So let's just get into the nitty-gritty. You started a petition some while ago trying to get a 20-mile-an-hour zone here in St Albans. What kind of... You said the urban area, so is this just roads that people live on, or would you say sort of draw a ring around St Albans, as it were, and just say 20 mile an hour within that zone? How would it work?
Well, oddly enough, St Albans has quite a defined sort of urban area. You know, you come in from the villages like Sandridge and you come up to the King Will. There's one nice entry into St Albans. Yeah. You come down from what used to be the Mile House. There's another, well, it's actually signed, Hello, Welcome to St Albans. So it actually wouldn't be difficult to make people aware that they were coming into a city. After all, the Highway Code tells you that you should assume 30 miles an hour wherever you see a lamppost.
Yes.
And that's a fairly common way of measuring your speed. And of course you've got those markers to feel as though your speed... It's quite hard for motorists to get down to a really low speed. I do appreciate that. It just feels wrong when you drop down quickly. But if you drop down when you're coming into these key entry points into St Albans, it wouldn't be difficult to draw a circle.
OK, so we've sort of dealt with the geography of things there. And then the second thing is, if we're going to have... let me say again, this is something that the Camp School mum touched on. If we're going to have this zone... Really, it needs to be enforceable. There's not much point in saying 20 miles an hour if people aren't going at 20 miles an hour.
That's right. And it is still the major barrier to getting this sort of thing introduced. The councils, I mean, we have to have some degree of compliance from the local council as well as from the county council who are responsible for roads. But their concern is always the cost of enforcement. But when we started our campaign, we were really quite sure in our own minds that actually money would be saved in the long run. Mm. People would be healthier, there would be less drain on the emissions toll on people's lung health.
Yes.
And generally, things like speed bumps and endless signage could be reduced. And speed bumps are very unpopular with motorists. They do damage their cars. And I certainly find them difficult to ride over. And if you didn't have to put those in, it's quite a big saving. at my residents' association recently, it was the number one concern on Sandridge Road was the speed at which cars were travelling.
Yes.
And of course, there is hardly a road in St Albans that doesn't have a school on it. So it's an issue.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I imagine there isn't a road in St Albans that children don't walk along to get to school. So, you know, even if it's only for our kids...
Yes, indeed. So enforceability is something that perhaps might only be needed for the first 6 months of a scheme. And once the word had gone out, if you like, amongst the motorists that this was, you know, that St Albans was a 20-mile-an-hour zone, the enforcement would be greatly reduced and you could take half the signs out. And also the constant changing in speeds is something that creates its own hazards for motorists. They have to be looking at signs all the time rather than looking at little people on the road.
Well, and it is easy to miss those signs. Again, our camp school mum did say that. You know, they have got signs there saying 20 miles an hour around the school, but actually you can't really see them. And by the time you've seen them, actually you're already through that little bit of 20 mile an hour.
Yes.
So perhaps the simplicity of things might help. Now, as you said, in order to have a 20-mile-an-hour zone in St Albans, we have to have the agreement both of the local council and of Herts County Council as well. So if people agree with you and feel that 20 is plenty for St Albans, what should they do?
Well, I think, first of all, they should contact their own councillors,
yep,
wherever they are.
And are we talking here local councillors or Hertfordshire County councillors?
Right. Both. And in fact, there's a huge overlap, as you know, a lot of district councillors are also county councillors. But also look out for the launch of our new 20s Plenty campaign. And we'll hope to be featuring that in the local press. And we'll be out on the street in St Albans over the next few months with leaflets and more information about what they can do. So they can contact me.
Yes.
We have a website, the Green Party website, or they can contact the local councillor or come and talk to us when they catch us, probably in St Albans city centre.
Brilliant. Jill, thank you very much indeed for coming and sharing that with us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Amanda.
And I was talking there to Jill Mills, who's a campaigner from St Albans Green Party. And just another thing I wanted to draw to your attention is that it's not just Camp School that is looking for a cross-crossing patrol. Other St Albans schools have got the agreement of Herts County Council that they can have a crossing patrol, but they're just struggling to recruit. So if you could spend a few hours each day doing this tremendously worthwhile job, then do take a look on the Herts County Council website where they have their jobs advertised. And I'll make sure that there's a link for that, and then also for the Green Party's 20s Plenty campaign and Jill's email address if you wanted to contact her on our website, the Radio Verulam website. Okie doke then. So a quick reminder about Apple Days. Now Charlotte from the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, who's often appeared on this show, she tells me that 1,200 people attended their Apple Day at the weekend and they've already sold out of apple juice. And the crowds at Highfield Park's Apple Day were phenomenal as well. So going really well so far. You've got Shenley Park's Apple Day to look forward to this Sunday the 15th. That goes from noon till 6. And then the weekend of the 21st, 22nd, it's Aylett's Apple Weekend. And they have loads of stalls, apples, goodness knows what there. Lots for you to enjoy there. And then just after that is the Harpenden Common Apple Day. That's on Monday the 23rd. And that's 11 till 2. And this is an event that's open to everybody. And it's an opportunity to come and discover the fruit trees that are growing on Harpenden Common. And you don't have to book for that or anything, but apparently it's suitable for all ages. Okay, so Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, they are running a family tree safari. That's this Sunday from 10 till 12. Now, it's over at Priorswood in Stevenage, so a little bit of a distance away. But it's an event, it's not just aimed at children, but also those of us who are new to tree identification. Now, I have been to one of these events with my children a little while ago, a bit bigger now, and not only did they learn an awful lot about trees, it was really really interesting. But my husband still refers back to it years later. He'll like, you know, see a hornbeam or something and remember how he'd learnt what that tree looked like. It was a great event. So it's a really good way of getting kids interested in trees and learning a load of stuff yourself. And it's going to be a lovely warm weekend. So this will be a great walk, great chance to get out into the fresh air and to learn about wonderful trees that we have in here in Hertfordshire. Now, you will have to book that on the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website, and there is a small cost involved as well. And Hearts Middlesex Wildlife Trust, they're also running an easy access oak walk over at Panshanger Park next Wednesday. Now, Panshanger is a beautiful park, and they're running this very undemanding walk with parking provided very close to the walk, so that those of us who are a little bit less mobile can still enjoy it. Again, you will need to book on the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website. Now, woefully, you're too late to book for the Wildlife Trust half-term activities, but I did notice that they've got a couple of fungal forays coming up. Now, we were talking about foraging, weren't we? And one of the things that we said was that actually, if you want to look for fungus, much better to go out with an expert. So this is a great opportunity for you to get out with an expert and see, you know, learn a little bit about what's poisonous and what isn't poisonous and what's really easy to identify. Anyway, so again, you have to work in advance because they get booked up. If you were to book your place now, you'd be there on a fungal foray. I'll put the details on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website so that you can book your place there. And remember, when you're on the website, you can also listen to our podcast just whenever. So if you ever miss the show, you can listen to it there. Do get in touch. We always love your ideas. So do get in touch. You can tweet us at rv_environment or email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com. Now, next week, we're going to look at this idea about deposits scheme for plastic recycling, the recycling of plastic bottles. Michael Gove says he's looking for people's opinions, so we're going to be finding out what people think here in St. Albans. Anyway, until the same time next week, thanks for listening.